was okay, just what reminding you got? Me of is, speaking of the kids getting attention during their
five seconds
of fame in the children's sermon, when you guys did the first communion thing that my daughter, Gray, was a part of, you gave them the microphone to talk about something they're not allowed to do at the dinner table.
Yeah.
She used her 2 seconds of fame to tell everybody she's not allowed to toot at the dinner table.
That's true.
It's a microphone.
It was great.
I live in fear of Gray having the spotlight.
Yeah, I know. Oh, gosh. What is she going to say?
Here we go.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday Podcast. We're excited to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me as always, Pastor Nazaroff.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Alex McCarter.
Still here, still
recently. Now, we do have a no tooting rule on the podcast.
That's a strict no tooting.
Nobody told me about that rule.
We're in a relatively small and confined space here.
Yeah. Plus, we have, you know, microphones.
I signed nothing.
Definitely no tooting into the microphone. Don't do that.
Yeah.
The microphone could pick up some stuff, you know.
Thank goodness this is not a Smell-O-Vision podcast. That would be
Smell-O-Vision.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have? I don't think that exists in the podcast realm.
I don't think that exists in any realm.
They tried to make it, didn't they? Briefly.
Yeah. I think there are various products associated with TV that try to make it happen, but none of them have like caught on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Willy Wonka when they're gonna like let you taste the candy bar.
So we are a week. When this comes out, it's a week removed from Easter, but when we're recording, it's kind of right after. So, everything go well
Happy
for Easter?
Happy past Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's good here. What about you all? How's your Easter?
Great. We didn't have to preach 9 sermons.
That's
so.
True.
That's true.
Yeah. Only 2. It's fine.
Only 2?
Well, 2 on Easter.
You only had 2 on Easter?
Well, I did.
You did 3 sermons, but there was
There was a children's sermon at the middle
service.
That was
a delightful surprise.
As those who were coming to the
sermon. I was like, oh, there's no sermon.
Bonus.
Got out of there real early.
Yeah. On Saturday night, we had the Easter Vigil. We also did not preach at the Easter Vigil. And so that was part of my opener was, you know, tonight there won't be a sermon. And I said, hold your applause. And people, another joke that's not really funny, but people laughed at. So that's
All right. So, we did... a third service on Easter.
We did.
For the first time in a while.
The families, I forgot how exhausting 3 services in a row on a Sunday morning
is. It's tough,
It's like, oof, back to back to back. I mean, I literally did not leave the sanctuary from, I don't know, 8 o'clock until 12:30.
Ugh.
That's tough.
I left.
Yeah.
What if you go to the bathroom?
I mean, I could have found time to go to the bathroom, but I didn't have to go to the bathroom, and there were things that needed done, so I just power through. Adult diaper, everybody.
Do y'all talk that about?
No.
Do you talk that about that in seminary of like what happens if you have a bathroom emergency?
We did not have that conversation in seminary. That would fall into the category of things they did not teach in seminary.
I feel like that's something that they should be teaching. Like, what are your options? Yeah. What you should be doing?
Yeah. Sure. Option number 1: take care of yourself. Go do what you got to do. They will figure it out. That's. I'm fortunate enough that I have a very competent associate who can fill in should there be a what's the word I'm looking for? Bathroom emergency.
Edit that one out.
You could say a pastoral emergency.
A pastoral.
Yeah.
Pastoral scene.
I have often tried to think of like what are like amusing ways, mostly amusing to myself, that I can like use a code to tell people that I have to go to the bathroom without saying, your pastor's got to go to the bathroom between services. Be like,
the spirit is moving.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The spirit's moving me. I've got to go pray over this.
Right.
Or,
sure.
You know,
sure.
I've got to go respond to a pastoral emergency or something like that.
Okay.
Those seem like they work.
Yeah, I don't want people to think that there is actually a pastoral emergency, though, because people get concerned.
Pray for you while you're...
Yeah.
Pastor be pooping is not going to work.
We try to avoid that one.
I have to go drop the parishioners off at the pool.
In the baptismal font.
Right.
All right. Well, I got some news for us here.
Okay, what do we got?
From Japan.
Oh, Japan. Our friends in Japan.
It's just the one leg as opposed to the Japants, which has both legs.
From Japan, yeah.
I prefer shorts. it's summertime. It's hot around here.
All right. So Japan has a new, this company has a new paid leave option for you.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay. I'm already
paid leave. Amazing.
I like both those words and I like them a lot together. Yes. I like being paid and I like leaving.
Yep. They're good things.
All right. Japanese company now gives paid leave when your favorite pop star gets married or group breaks up.
Oh,
because you have to cope.
You need some coping time.
Mourn or celebrate appropriately.
Right.
Yeah.
So your favorite pop star gets married, assume it not to you.
Presumably not.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if they get married to you, you probably get time off for that.
Probably
too.
Need leave.
You're probably going to get some some vacation, right?
Yeah. How long can you get for the breaking up of your favorite pop group?
up to 10 days.
Wow.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Two weeks.
I would be a super fan of everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you have to do to prove your fandom? Like, do you have to be able to, like, sing a song or, like, wear a t-shirt, have a concert stub? Like, what's
the... You have to register? Is this, like, registering as a Democrat or
Republican?
Like,
at the beginning of the year, you need to submit...
Declare what...
Like, your four or five pop stars or groups that you're, like, these... Yeah. Like, so maybe you needed to go to, like, some betting odds. Like, who's going to get married this year?
Right. I'm going
to
go...
Who's got a long-term relationship? You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to go right here and say this is a very American perspective that we are immediately both trying to game the system and assuming that others would be gaming the system.
I guess that's fair.
It's called the Oshii Vacation System, which is the Japanese term for a fan's favorite pop star.
Okay. Oshii.
Oshii, yeah.
My Oshii. I like Oshii. That's a fun little nickname.
Yeah, I feel fandom might be different in Japan. It seems like maybe they take it a little bit more seriously on average
than
kind
of do. Go big on everything, right? Like, they don't do anything, like, halfway. Like, if they're going to be into trimming trees, they're going to be really into trimming trees
right,
and, like,
and
turn
the,
it into a giraffe. Right.
Or,
So.
All right. So it was the policy was born after this company's president noticed an unusually high performing employee crash emotionally when voice actress Nana Mizuki announced her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And another fell into a funk when his idol retired.
Sure.
And so instead of rolling his eyes, you know, he created the policy.
Said take 10 days.
Absolutely necessary for otaku to work.
How long would you want off? First, I guess, question one. Which band is breaking up that you're taking
your
time off for?
Who's your pop star? Oh, or who's your celebrity that you're going to need some time off for?
If they get married. If they wed.
If they wed.
I'm just a Harrison Ford super fan for
life.
That's
sure. He's already married, though.
I'm not waiting on him to get married at this point. I'm waiting on the...
Yeah, because he's already married, so...
The big one. Yeah,
that seems more likely at this point.
Hey, 10 days is 10 days, right?
You're right.
I've been a long-time fan of Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I knew this.
And so I could see that being a wedding that happens again and again, which I feel like is in my advantage. So I could get multiple options here.
Yeah, once you're kind of divorced and remarried, the odds of divorce and remarry go up dramatically.
They do, yeah. Like, keep it coming.
Well, because you're good at it.
Yeah. This is what I know.
I know what this is like. I'm practiced, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, in America, the half of all marriages end in divorce is a bit of a misnomer because the more you're divorced, the more likely to get divorced.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not necessarily half of all first marriages end in divorce.
Hmm. I wonder what that statistic is like.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
I'd never thought about that.
70%.
No.
First marriage is.
Right.
No, the first marriage is typically stronger.
Yeah.
And then second and third and fourth.
Yeah.
And once you're in your fifth marriage, isn't really all that strong. You know, like, come on. Like.
Some people find true love.
And I think maybe that fifth one, you don't have that much time left at that point, so you might as well just coast through.
We're in it for the health benefits. Right. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. So.
We named ours. Who's yours?
Yeah.
Who are you waiting on?
Oh, I think I know this one.
Yeah, I'll say Kristen Bell. My long-term crush. Yeah.
She's got a new little sitcom on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Good for her. She's already also married, so I mean, like, again, so it's not
sure.
Yeah.
To
so I need some
Jack Shepherd, right?
I need some retroactive time off. By
sure.
I'm leaving right now.
Grief.
We brought it up.
I brought this up to say I need some time. That's
Yeah. Harrison Ford's marriage is a childhood trauma for me.
To Ally McBeal. Yeah.
He's married to Ally McBeal?
No, he's married to Calista Flockhart.
She played
McBeal. I didn't think he was married to the character. Yeah,
the show,
I couldn't
McBeal.
Think of Ally McBeal's actress's name. All right.
Correct.
Calista Flockhart. Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting match.
All right. Well, there you go.
Would not have guessed that. You could have given me a lot
of
guesses.
Are we going to incorporate this into our policies here?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm a horrible person.
Yeah, you know, Jesus dies every year.
It's true, and I don't get 10 days off of that.
I'm gonna say it's an emotional experience. Yeah,
it is. Yep. So.
All right. Well, speaking of, well, this is a bad segue.
Yeah, you walked right into it, but there's nowhere else to go. That's. Speaking of famous people who died recently,
let's talk about the Pope. Yeah.
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 I've got an article here from Relevant about five of Pope Francis's teachings. But first, let's just talk a little bit about the Pope. So Pope Francis died
the day after Easter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
In some parts of the world, it was still Easter.
Yeah. Held on through Easter.
Yeah. So, very lovely.
Very lovely. And now we've got the conclave will start in a couple weeks to find a new Pope.
White smoke. That's what we're waiting for.
All I know is that there's a whole bunch of pageantry involved.
There is a lot of pageantry. Really,
I mean, I read an article today about like how it all works.
Yeah. So. Step one is the funeral. Yeah. That's coming up.
Oh yeah.
That will.
We
I mean, that
probably
will have
mourn this one and bury him.
That will have happened before this podcast comes out.
Yeah. There's not a vice pope that just steps
vice
right on.
Well, so there is a guy who's like acting pope.
There's an acting pope. Yes.
But the acting pope does not have the same papal authority to like.
Yeah. Do you have to go to drama school for that, or is?
Yeah, he does a lot of improv classes. Right. Is me at a pope?
Yes. Yes and no but.
Yeah, so there will be a new pope, presumably. Yeah. Now, I do know if they go like 18 days without selecting a pope, they take a break.
Oh,
and then they start over with the top two vote getters.
Okay, so, that's fun.
Yeah.
But last time they selected Pope Francis in like a day.
It
was pretty fast.
It took five votes to get to him.
Yeah.
And the Pope before him took four votes. So they've been on a roll lately.
Yeah, they're moving quick.
Do we know anything about like the top slate of candidates?
Do we?
Yes, I do. Because guess what you can do? Bet on it.
Oh, perfect. Yes. I was looking for a way to get involved.
Yes. The top candidate, according to the probabilities of betting,
yes,
is Pietro Prolioni from Italy.
Okay, that makes sense.
And
an
second,
Italian boy.
Luis Antonio Tagle from the Philippines.
From the Philippines.
Okay.
So those are your top two probable popes.
Is either one of this the guy that supposedly like died and brought himself back to life in the Philippines?
Ooh. Well, Luis is going to be more likely then.
Right. Wasn't there like a bishop or something in the Philippines who like
died and brought himself back to life?
Well, no, he was applying for sainthood, right?
Because
he...
And he's alive?
Yes.
I don't know anything about this.
It's a tough sell.
It's harder, yeah.
You got to do two miracles.
Right. And so like one of them was that
brought himself back to life.
Right.
Okay.
I might be misremembering that, but we should all look it up because it was a whole thing. And if he's in the running for Pope, I think that should affect his stats.
Sure, we should know about that. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do know that Pope Francis was the first bishop from outside of Europe, or who was born outside of Europe, since like the 800s or something ridiculous like that.
Since the 800s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that was a long time ago.
That was a very long time ago. For those of you keeping score at home.
Yeah. So I mean, this does bode an interesting question.
Yeah.
You know, is the papacy, you know, is the direction going to be more...
Nice use of papacy. Well done.
Going to be in that that same... vein, like are they going in the same direction of Pope Francis, a little more progressive, a little more liberal, or are they going to pull back and go with more of a hardline Catholic?
And we should clarify, right, like, you know, Pope Francis being more progressive or liberal did not mean that like Catholic teachings on a lot of things dramatically changed, but he spoke about people with mercy and maybe encouraged people to pursue mercy over hardline stances on things.
That always impresses me when that's the liberal stance, is that we speak about mercy.
Yeah.
We factor it in.
Yeah,
I mean, a good deal of, like, you know, his early teaching when he became Pope was about the environmental issues.
Then
spoke about refugees and an approach to, like, divorce and LGBTQ issues. He kept the Catholic stance, but just asked for more mercy to be given to those who are divorced and remarried within the Catholic Church or LGBTQ members. You know, so, like... You know, he did not abandon Catholic teaching.
No.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see.
It will be. We'll see where the church lands. You know, I don't know. It's a whole thing, and
we're not Catholic.
We're not Catholic. We're not really bound by what they do, but you know, it does influence world politics in some way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it has its impacts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you become Pope, you get to choose a new name. So that's...
Oh, there you go.
That would be my favorite part.
Are we putting bets on the name, too? Like,
you can definitely bet on the name.
Yeah, bet on what they're
going
to choose.
So typically, if, you know, the word on the street is if the new Pope is, like, team Pope Francis, he might choose Francis.
Oh, sure.
Again?
Francis back to
the
back.
Second. He'd be Francis
the
second.
Confusing, yeah.
Back-to-back Francis's.
Yeah.
What's your Pope name going to be if you were being Pope?
So I think there are, like, rules that you're supposed to, like, choose... A saint, or like, I don't know, like, I don't know if there's a limitation on the names that you're allowed to choose.
I'm gonna assume that I'm out.
You probably
sure.
You could go with Popra.
Popra.
If you would like.
It's nice of you to leave that one for her. Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of Gregories, lots of Louis.
Lots of Johns, lots of Pauls.
Gregory is a good, like, medieval name.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think it's any name is possible. I can't be like Pope Todd.
Pope Bob.
I'm Pope Jimmy. You know, like, I like to keep it cash.
Pope Bubba. There we go. Pope Bubba.
Yeah.
That's when we get our first Creole Pope.
I know. Yeah. I can't wait.
Waiting for that day.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Would you have a Pope name that you would want to go with?
I don't know. Maybe like Timothy. Pope Timothy. That sounds nice. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
I don't know how to make that funny. That's just, you know.
I just want them to call me Big Popa.
Big Popa. Popa.
I like it when you call me Big Popa.
Yes. Throw your hands in the air.
If you're a true prayer. Yes.
There it is. Nice. Good teamwork, guys.
I know. Well, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and by the way, Catholic Church, I'm just going to say it right now.
I'm throwing
my name in the ring.
Pretty sure you're not eligible either. Yeah.
Call me. Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
So I did see a thing that, like, I don't remember the timeline, but almost always one of the electors, or a cardinal or one of the electors, is who's elected pope. But it was like, there's been like one time in like, I don't know, the last 1,000 years or something like that, where a non-cardinal was elected pope.
It happened in that Da Vinci Code sequel. One of those books.
Yeah? I don't think that was real.
What?
I'm Dan sorry. Brown. That's
back up. Please.
I've looked into this. Back up. I don't think that was real.
Yes, yeah. A pope did get elected. Yeah. He was not a cardinal.
Was that the Angels and Demons one?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. So, what is the path Ewan to McGregor. The popehood? Is it you are
the papacy?
Whatever. Yeah.
Papacy is always such a cool word.
It's a great word. So you're a priest first, I'm assuming, and then you're a bishop, and then a cardinal, and then you kind of hang out.
I think it's like bishop, archbishop, cardinal, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you wait for the pope to die?
Well, first, so you're a priest, then you make it to the end of the chessboard. You become bishop.
Right. That's step one. Yeah.
But you really should just go queen. That's the best.
You should, you should have, yeah.
But, you know, but you can't become pope that way.
Yeah, so. You can't become pope if you're a queen.
Right.
Yes, so.
It's a queen. Snap, snap.
You can't become pope if you're a queen.
Yes, queen.
Yes, pope. Yeah, I think so. And then you're elected pope. I mean, I don't know that everybody aspires to be pope someday. Like, I don't know if that's a Catholic thing. I don't know if it's the same trajectory. I think some people are like, I'm a cardinal. That's what I want.
That's my career goals. Yeah. Is cardinal.
Yeah, that's where I want to level out at.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants to be a blue jay. I just want to be a cardinal.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's tedious to be pope.
Probably.
Probably. Yeah. You know, I bet there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, you got a lot of meetings to go to.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like
probably
being
praying a lot.
King. You're king, except you're not allowed to have any vices.
Yeah.
Look, I could tell you from history,
lots of popes
have got plenty of vices.
Right, absolutely, but you're not supposed to.
Sure.
Probably modern popes would have less vices, because like, I think the scandals would be
right, because you're recorded.
To record, yeah.
I guess the question would be, like, how many of like the church's real secrets? Is there like an Area 51 for the Catholic Church? Like, do you get to find out?
I think they have their own library, like hidden in the Vatican.
That would be the only part that would be tempting to me, is I want to know all the tea.
Yeah.
Like, what's really
going on? That's the real reason to be president too, right?
Right.
I want
the secret book that came out.
I don't even need the nuclear codes.
I'm sworn in. I want to go right back into the White House and be like, tell me where the aliens
at. I got some reading.
Right. Where are those aliens at? I need to know.
That's National Treasure too, right? When they get the president's book?
Yeah. I don't have anything. I don't care about tariffs.
That was also real,
stuff.
By the way.
Right.
Don't tell me that Nick Cage is a liar. That was a documentary.
No. All right. So anyway, we had an article. We're not just talking. We're not just spitballing on popes. Remembering Pope Francis.
Okay.
Five of his teachings non-Catholics need to learn from too.
That's us.
Relevant. Yep. Yeah.
It's like this was made for us. Non-Catholics.
Well, it was. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. The first sentence of this article from Relevant was like, I'm speaking to you, on Sunday.
Right.
Since we're besties and all.
Well, thanks, Relevant. Thanks for calling us out.
Right.
All right. What do we got?
All right. So we're going to kind of go through some of these teachings.
You had some good teachings.
Yeah. If you are a progressive Protestant Christian, Pope Francis might be about as good as you're gonna get in your lifetime as far as popes.
We'll see.
Yeah. I know.
It seems likely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on how many we go through, I guess.
That's
like,
true.
Because there a lot of them are old.
Yeah, but you can't be 80 plus.
You have to be under 80.
Under 80.
Oh, so you age out of Pope.
Well, you age out of being elected Pope.
Oh, but then you stay for
it's a lifetime appointment.
Yeah.
Now, the last pope, not Pope Francis, the previous pope, did retire.
Yes, but that was the first time that had happened in like hundreds of years.
Well, he was Luke, right?
He was Benedict.
Benedict, whatever.
Yeah, there was a whole movie called The Two Popes. I watched none of it.
It was interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Number one.
Oh, right.
Teachings. The teachings, yeah.
Welcoming the stranger isn't optional.
Mm. Okay.
Again, I'm going to say this is weird that this is like revelatory, but I appreciate that. I appreciate that we need to come back to that.
Yeah.
But I do. I like the emphasis that it's not optional. Like, it's not that we get to think about how we welcome the stranger. It's that you see a stranger, you as follower of Christ have one job.
Yeah, like, you have one job.
Don't blow this.
Right.
This
is,
yeah. Yeah, and 2018, he called out leaders who format fear of migrants and weren't doing so sows violence, racial discrimination, and xenophobia. Yeah.
No idea which leaders he could be talking about there.
Yeah.
In 2018.
Well, I think
it's a mystery.
You know, at that point in time as well, there was a lot going on in Europe. And
yes.
There was.
Mostly based in Europe.
I mean, Vatican City is in Italy.
Right.
Sure.
Like, legitimate, like, fear of what migrant populations were doing to change the cultures
of
these nations, right? Like, there was some legitimacy to the concern because of the sheer amount of migrants that were arriving. But the kind of the fallout and the vehemence behind a lot of that was very concerning.
Yeah.
I would say anti-Christian. So I'm assuming he's probably speaking a lot heavily to that and what was going on in Europe at that time.
Yeah.
And still, I think, continues to go on.
I think that's perfectly reasonable. Yeah. And I think that it's also reasonable for us to think about what does welcome mean, right? Like, welcome in a particular context doesn't necessarily mean, oh, well, these people are now allowed to completely change the culture in Rochelle. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that doesn't mean that either, right? Like, in some ways, welcome is a two-way street, and that you recognize that you're being welcomed into someone else's space, and certainly you bring your whole self into there, and I invite your whole self into there, but it's still this space, and how does that interplay happen? It's complicated, to be sure.
Yeah.
It's not just as simple as saying, welcome.
Dude, we talked about that Richard Dawkins article where he like really showed his hand as being a terrible xenophobic human. Do you remember that? Where he was talking about how he wants England to remain a Christian nation culturally because of immigrants.
Because of Jesus.
And it's
and he's like, you know what? I don't like Christians, but I dislike Muslims more.
It's really terrible.
And I dislike Muslims so much, I'd rather it be Christian.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
thanks, Richard
Dawkins. Relevant talking point from Pope Francis.
Yeah, I don't know what
relevant
episode that was, but we did talk about that.
Yeah, we did.
On a previous podcast. Yeah. All right. Number two. Don't dismiss the kids with megaphones.
Ooh. Okay. I'm gonna need some clarity. What do we mean by this?
Yeah. Like not using a megaphone to dismiss kids.
Yeah.
Just
you
yell.
Can go home now.
Have an outdoor PA system.
Right.
Megaphone is the wrong way to do it.
It's more efficient.
Not helpful.
One, it's hard to understand.
Right.
Nobody ever heard anything on a megaphone and be like, super clear.
Right.
That's perfect. Yeah. Do not dismiss kids with megaphones.
No, it's the kids that have megaphones.
Okay, so the kids with loud voices?
Yeah.
Kids who are like protesting things?
So there was a March for Our Lives protest, and St. Francis was there and he delivered a message directly to new generations of leaders. And on Palm Sunday, on March 25th, 2018, he said, young people, you have it in you to shout. It is up to you not to keep quiet.
Mm.
So it's more about like lifting up kids or the young who are maybe angry or passionate about issues in this world and not just dismissing them and saying, you know, you're too young or things like that. So,
yeah. That's lovely.
It is, yeah. I mean, this goes back to Paul's letter to Timothy, right? Don't let anyone dismiss you just because you are young, right? Mm-hmm. That the voice of the Spirit comes through voices of all ages and stages of life. And just because they perhaps have a different perspective on it than someone who's 80 does not mean that their perspective is any less Spirit-inspired or Spirit-led or, you know.
Absolutely.
At some point, the old guard, quite literally, has to let the younger generation lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said to those young people, a single individual is enough for hope to exist, and that individual can be you.
Oh.
And then
no pressure.
And then there will be another you, and it turns into an us.
Because cloning.
Yeah.
Right.
And so does hope begin when we have an us? No. Hope begins with one you. When there's an us, there will be a revolution. I guess so.
That's a lovely little turn of phrase there, Mr. Francis.
Good work. You know, I don't know what language you spoke that in, but still.
Yeah, it probably depends on where he was.
Yeah.
He spoke a lot of languages.
At least three.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I'm out for being Pope.
I don't know if the multilingual is a requirement.
Probably helps on the resume.
Probably does help. I think you've got some other roadblocks that are more relevant to standing in your way.
Yeah. I have it on good authority. The Cardinals under 80 who are allowed to vote are like, you know what? Elise seemed pretty good, but only one language.
Right.
That's going to hurt her in the finals. Yeah.
She does have her private pilot license, so she can fly herself around as Pope. That's handy.
Yeah. Can you go cross-Atlantic? You know, that's going to be...
Depends on the plane.
I mean, in theory.
Can the planes you're allowed to fly go cross Atlantic?
Well, how long do we want to spend talking about this?
Not very. Yeah. All right, number three. Faith isn't a weapon or a wall, man. Pope's coming in hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Faith isn't a weapon or a wall?
Correct.
Yeah. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the Pope's teachings that Christians should remember, or that non-Catholics should remember, line up pretty squarely with Jesus's teachings that we should be remembering as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is a valuable reminder for me that Pope Francis, again, was not breaking from church doctrine in the stuff. Like, he was leaning into the teachings of Jesus that perhaps more emphasized mercy, acceptance, grace, forgiveness, right? Those elements of the church teaching, as opposed to a hard line that says, this is where the buck stops, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think that's more in line with the ministry and teaching that we read of Jesus in the Gospels and how that's revealed.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and maybe in response to this, one of the advantages of like the Catholic Church, especially as we approach it as Americans, is it's not an American church.
Sure.
Right? Like, it is a global church. And so it doesn't necessarily have the same shape by American politics as Southern Baptists or even, you'll say, Lutherans. Mm-hmm. You know, like that we are American-born churches, and we exist in an American culture.
Yeah.
And so I think you could definitely see amongst, like, Catholics across the board, like, a greater spread of, like, political emphasis or what they care about. It doesn't, quite line up as clearly as other American Protestants with the two major political parties. You know, so they could have, hey, we're anti-abortion and also anti-death penalty, and we don't really fit into either political party very well
because they're legitimately pro-life, right?
Yes,
like we're pro people being alive. Like, that's
and so I think when the Pope Francis is discussing these things, he is seeing that from more of a global perspective, and American Christians can maybe have a harder time doing that,
because
he is seeing like, hey, migrants across the border are predominantly Catholic.
Yeah.
And those are more his people than American Protestants, you know.
Sure.
Like, and so, like, I think, you know, I think that that's just an advantage, not necessarily the advantage.
I think that's a big piece.
Yeah.
I think even when we look at how American politics has been shaped, right, I have heard, I was not alive at this point, right, but when Kennedy was elected, I think he was the first Catholic president.
Yeah.
And that was like a big question of like, what's his allegiance, right?
Right.
And is the Pope going to be able to call him up and tell him to do something and he's going to have to say yes and things like that. So there is a different shape to the Catholic Church and its relationship with American politics than others.
All right, number four. Generosity means looking people in the eye.
I'm awkwardly looking Elise in the eye right now. Are you feeling like I'm being generous to you?
Show me the money.
Yeah, I think... I don't know exactly what the author is going to say about this, but from my perspective of Pope Francis's work, he was very big on meeting people directly. And you know, one of the examples that I can give of this is that there is a longstanding tradition that on Maundy Thursday, which is the day when we hear the story of Jesus washing people's feet, washing the disciples' feet, the Pope would wash 12 people's feet as a symbol of the 12 disciples. And typically, historically, it was 12 like bishops or cardinals or something like that. And Pope Francis made it his tradition to go to a women's prison and wash the feet of these women, female prisoners who often were not Christian, often were not Catholic.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, to look those prisoners in the eye and to wash their feet in an act of service out of his love that for Jesus and his love for them through Jesus. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's, for me, what this one comes, right? So, like, how do we look the people that we're trying to serve in the eye? Not because it's like, oh, look, I'm looking you up, because they're human, right? Because they are a person who God loves, and how do we extend that through giving them the dignity of looking them in the eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, tossing money and not looking in their eyes is not a Christian way to behave.
Mm.
You know, and yeah.
Yeah.
A greater level of generosity with dignity attached to it.
Yeah.
Mm. I know from what I read, about him, you know, leading up to this podcast or, you know, last week, when he, when the votes were coming in and he was going to become Pope, like, yeah, somebody did come to him and like, kind of say, like, remember the poor. It was kind of like his. Mm-hmm. And that's why he ended up choosing St. Francis as his kind of namesake, with a greater emphasis on, like, environmental issues, since those affect predominantly the poor. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. Lastly, hypocrisy is a scandal.
Okay.
Do we want to say more? Or do we want to... agree.
Call out that hypocrisy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that... Agreed. You know, we definitely agree, you know, that tribalism, especially in Americandom politics, is a scandal. Like, and it, you know, whatever morality or faith leads you to should be kind of across the board for you. And
right.
Not a weapon to use against others and a mercy for oneself or one's own.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I'm definitely on board.
Yeah. I think we often get caught up in like scandal being the thing that's buried or the thing that's hidden. Right. But I think this elevates it to the level of scandal is any time we're saying one thing and doing another, right? Like that's the scandal. And it's not that the other thing, like the actual action doesn't matter, but it's at a higher level that just the sheer act of the hypocrisy is the scandal and elevating it to that point, giving its attention. Yeah. It's valuable.
Yeah. And look, Pope Francis is by no means a perfect man or a perfect pope.
No, of course not.
And there are things that I wish he did more of. Not like abandon Catholic teaching to be more like us.
Be a Lutheran pope.
I think he could have spoken more directly to victims of the, you know, that have been abused and molested by American Christians or American Catholics and Catholics around the world, and more of a voice for them at the top levels, and kind of like we're purging this even more so.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I don't think he was as forthright there, but I do appreciate his stance on environmental issues and that Christianity should have a concern for the stranger and the poor.
Yeah.
And at minimum, you should be looking at people who are different than you with dignity and with mercy.
Yeah.
You know, so again, I think some good things,
we're not converting to Catholicism because of it.
No. Yeah. But I mean, you can look at that and say, oh, this is a person who probably moved the needle forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
We hope so. We'll see where the needle goes with the new Pope.
Right.
Watch for that white smoke, everybody. You'll hear it last here on Beyond Sunday.
What's the deal with the white smoke?
So when they are electing a Pope, every time they have a ballot, they burn the ballots, and if it's black smoke that goes up, then a pope has not been elected, and if it's white smoke that goes up, then a pope has been elected.
Okay, so that's like your first, like at the Vatican, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Of all the voting members, we need 2/3 to agree on the pope.
I think it's 120 that vote.
Yeah.
How do you get to be a member? Is this like the academy?
So it's interesting because they have more eligible people than there are electors. Like, you only have 120 electors, but they have more people that are eligible to do that. So I don't know how they choose the electors. I don't know if like each region gets to like select their cardinals. I don't know how that happens. Yeah, I don't know. I have to do some more reading, but I probably won't because I've got other things.
Yeah, I mean, there are some rules. Like, you do have to be under 80.
Yep.
To vote.
So that does eliminate some people.
Yeah. And there is like a process of like, for lack of a better word, campaigning.
Yeah.
That begins before you start voting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's gauche to nominate yourself, you know,
sure,
to campaign on your own behalf.
Yeah.
So you want somebody out there.
You want other people stirring up the pot.
Yeah.
I know Elise only knows one language, but that's what you want. You want us out there doing the front work for you.
Right.
And if they're going to listen to anybody, it's going to be Patrick and I.
That would not be, you're not who I would send.
I'm like, one, isn't it time for a popra?
That's right. Need I say more?
Once she says popra, trust me, all the headlines
that's
coming
right
back to, you know.
You get an indulgence, and you get an indulgence.
Nicely done, yeah. So before we wrap up, I've got some better options for Pope names here because I just looked up some because I realized that like a lot of popes are named after saints, and so I just looked up some good saints that we can find. So some Pope names that we could go with, Pope Amantius.
Amantius.
I think that could be fun. I don't know who that is.
Well, it's not a Womantius, I can tell you that.
This one, I'm not trying to pronounce it. It's either Pope Blaise, which I think is great, or
Blaise.
Pope Blase, which is also fun.
Blase
is
like
Pope
lame.
Blaise.
Yeah.
Both fun. Pope Kevin. Apparently there's a Saint Kevin, which I think is great. Or Pope Andre Bassette. Hmm. I think that's a fun one.
Yeah.
Pope Andre.
Ludwina.
Pope Andre.
Ludwina.
Pope Ludwina.
Andre the Giant. I appreciate that.
I don't think Andre Bassette is Andre the Giant.
Is it Andre Agassi?
Yeah, that's it.
The famous tennis player.
He was my favorite in the 90s, by the way.
Yeah, so. He's great.
Yeah.
Team Andre over Pete Sampras.
Ooh, okay. Shots fired.
How do we feel about Federer?
He's not a player in the 90s. But he was great.
He's phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, he's almost too dominant.
Yeah.
Was he not at the tail end of the 90s and early 2000s?
He came on as Agassi and Sampras are both fading.
Yeah.
And then he lived on until Nadal, and then Nadal took over, and then now Nadal has faded, and I don't know who it is anymore.
Me neither.
We know a lot about tennis, apparently. Only from the 90s and aughts.
I know those four people. That's and Venus and Serena Williams.
Right.
They're people. I know them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that lady who attacked another lady with a thing. Wasn't that a tennis player? No, those
were
ice skaters.
A tennis player did get stabbed in the back.
Oh, yeah. The Monica Seles?
I think it's Monica Seles. Yeah.
There you go. This is Tennis Talk with Beyond Sunday Podcast. So, yeah, if you liked this episode, let us know what you think about the new Pope. What should be the Pope's name?
Yeah,
let us know who you're putting
your
bets on.
If you're a voting member and you're listening, call us up.
We would love to have an interview with a voting member of the conclave.
Do we hope for a Pope?
We'll give you our input. Yeah.
Absolutely. We won't give you anything but input, but we will give you
input. Come on the pod. We'll talk about
it. Yeah, you can send all your thoughts or your requests to be on the podcast to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
We need a young pup. That's what we really
need. We
do. I wonder if there's a minimum age.
I don't know. I only read the maximum
age.
That
seems like an oversight if there isn't. They're like, we're just going to cap this thing at 80. That's it.
Yeah. Has there ever been like a child pope? Right. Sometimes they're like child kings, you know, things like that. Or child queens.
How long do you want me to take to try to find out?
I mean, not at all. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.